866-660-5759. It is Tuesday, 9th of October, middle of our Tuesday show. Great to have you. And great to have this gentleman here. You see him on TV a lot, see him saying a lot, thinking a lot, doing a lot, fresh off a lengthy career of service to our nation. And he is coming to Frisco at the Omni in Frisco Saturday for an event for the Lifesavers Foundation. These are wonderful people. I've emceed stuff for them before. And if Newt Gingrich is coming to town, a good time is guaranteed, especially at any time, especially in these issue-heavy times. And Newt joins us for a little preview and a talk about a few things going on in the news. Welcome, sir. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, and it's always fun to come to Texas, so I'm looking forward very much to being with you on Saturday.
Well, I tell you what let's do. Let's send everybody right off the bat to lifesaversfoundation.org. We're going to talk about 14 things here, but let's send everybody to lifesaversfoundation.org, lifesaversfoundation.org. Click on events, and you can get your tickets there for Newt's. It's kind of funny. Let me just ask you, what are people in store for? Are you going to come in and just sort of go through some broad themes as well as some recent headlines?
Sure. Plus, I'll take questions. I want people to be able to tell me what they want to talk about. So we'll spend some time on questions and answer and let the audience be in charge for part of the talk.
You know, it's funny. Just hearing you say that takes me back to the way that you used to run campaign events when you ran for president in an industry that requires its candidates to be lockstep on message, read from the same index cards. I followed you around New Hampshire some years back and saw you do three or four events in a row, and they were all different, and you threw it open to the audience, and it was far ranging and sweeping. And I don't know, it was magical. And you've sort of run events like that your whole life.
Yeah. I think I'm probably more of a educator than a politician. I like talking with people. I like ideas. I just did a Facebook Live about a week ago called Destroying Kavanaugh and Destroying America, and it's gotten over 3 million views. And I think, you know, I like the idea of reaching out and trying to explain things. We also do a neat thing on Facebook called What If History That Could Have Been. And we have about 75,000 subscribers, and every week I take some event, like what if Hillary had won, or what if the South had won at Gettysburg, and we talk about what might have happened, how it might have happened, and trying to make the point that, you know, you ought to study history not to memorize it, but to learn from it and think about it and try to figure out what could have happened.
Well, you know what? Can I borrow from that theme and let's spend a second here? What if the vicious smears against Brett Kavanaugh had prevailed?
Well, that's actually going to be a future a video that I'm going to do on the What If series, because I think that it would have been devastating. When I finally learned that Susan Collins was going to give a speech and explain a yes vote, I cannot tell you how relieved I was. If this totally dishonest, and let's be clear, it was a totally dishonest smear campaign, manipulated by the Democrats, deliberately using a woman by hiding her letter, bringing it up at the last minute, leaking it to the press. I mean, this whole thing was an enormous disservice to the country. If that had succeeded, first of all, how would you get anybody to come forward and agree to be nominated for anything, knowing that the left was capable of that kind of a destructive, vicious campaign? And I think we would be today in very bad shape if he had gone down in defeat, because I don't think anybody who looked at it seriously knew he had not been convicted of anything, and some of the charges against him were so absurd. It was as though somebody was drunk and just made him up late at night. And so you look at some of that stuff and you think, here's a guy with two young daughters, good reputation in the community, and he's put through this. And if it had, now the fact is, it didn't work. He is now serving on the court. It's going to be a great message to the future that you can endure and you can outlast the bad guys. And that's what he did.
And we watched him last night being sworn in, and it was a magnificent moment of victory against these dark forces that had tried to bring him down. But I have to say, even with the victory having been won, Aren't we still going to see people wondering, even if prevailing is possible or even likely? Sure. I mean, there are good people who are suddenly remembering anything they ever did in 10th grade and saying, I may not be able to serve my country 40 years later.
Right, and the truth is, Republicans are going to have to get tougher about ruling out certain kinds of allegations and saying, you know, what's legitimate and what's not legitimate. I mean, it's a little bit much to have somebody like the senator from Connecticut, who had apparently lied about serving in Vietnam for years until finally it came out he'd never served in Vietnam. Yet he's there pontificating as a pious hypocrite, as though we should believe him. And it's also amazing to see somebody like Senator Booker, who should know the danger of having charges go without proof, because it's a major concern of the entire African-American community. And yet here he is pontificating, at one point describing himself as having a Spartacus moment. I couldn't resist that. I did a tweet and said, you know, remember that Spartacus is a slave who rebels, loses, and is crucified by the Romans. The worst that's going to happen to Booker is he'll get a cold cup of coffee in the Senate dining room. But there's this kind of histrionic passion, and I think the left is so enraged at Trump's existence that they virtually are out of control.
Let's. I'm going to roll to some Republican names in this drama, but reminding everybody that Newt Gingrich is here, and the Lifesavers Foundation is the group, lifesaversfoundation.org, and just click on events, and there you go. Saturday, coming up this weekend, this Saturday, at the Omni Frisco, and Newt will be there taking questions. It'll be Newt Unplugged, which is a great thing to see. Trust me on this, and get your tickets there at lifesaversfoundation.org. Let's talk about a curious ascendancy of conservative heroes. I've always loved Lindsey Graham when he's right, which is most of the time, but on immigration, he's made me crazy. His speech there, his righteous indignation in that Senate Judiciary Committee is one, not just one of the great moments of conservative oratory, but one of the great moments in recent congressional history. He had it and made it clear.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things you have to remember, that there were key moments emotionally. One was when Judge Kavanaugh came back, and the intensity and the passion with which he took on the Senate Democrats, which reset the stage very much the way Clarence Thomas had done years ago in a similar setting. Another was Lindsey, who I think it was his finest moment. He did a remarkably good job. And I think it was good in part because he captured for a lot of conservatives what they had been thinking but no one had said. And he did it in a way that, in a funny way, Lindsey broke the senatorial rules as much as the Democrats. If they were going to be vicious and dishonest and the character assassination, then he was going to take them head on, which, of course, is very much against the way the Senate normally operates. And I suspect they're in a state of shock to have a colleague hit him as hard as he hit him. And every conservative country was applauding him. And then, frankly, I'm doing my newsletter for tomorrow on Susan Collins, because here is a moderate Republican, openly a moderate Republican, from Maine, which is a very challenging state to be a conservative in. She has a activist group that raised $2 million to fund somebody against her if she voted yes. She has people who are sending coat hangers symbolizing back alley abortions to her staff in a really nasty thing. There were vicious phone calls to her offices. She thought it through. She talked it through. She did due diligence in every possible way. And in the end, her speech to the Senate was a model of a serious, thoughtful, well-researched speech that was what the Senate ought to be about, as opposed to what we're getting from the Democrats right now.
And some Republicans, as opposed to Lisa Murkowski, who did this odd triangulation of, he seems like a good man, and yet I just don't know if he's the right justice at the right time. Well, ma'am, when you're president, you get to make that call. The advice and consent function, if I understand it, is to weigh nominees that come from the president, right, and not determine whether that's the exact same nominee you would have offered, but whether that nominee meets the normal definitions of jurisprudence. And Kavanaugh obviously did from the first go.
Yeah, and I think she took sort of a half step back into the conference by agreeing not to vote so she could be paired with Senator Dayton.
Yes, well, yeah.
Walker's daughter down the aisle. But I think she was very affected by the number of Native American Alaskans who came to see her and the passion. These were not normal left-wing activists. These were people who represent a community that has tragically a very high percentage of abuse.
I know, and I totally understand that. And last Republican, as someone who knows a thing or two about congressional leadership, let me get a paragraph from you about Mitch McConnell, who has he's overly criticized over the years in many chapters. But by and large, when leadership requires you to cut deals and do some compromise, those became kind of kryptonite in the era of the Tea Party. And Mitch caught a lot of hell for a long time. I can't remember when a Senate Majority Leader has more galvanized said, all right, everybody, on my back, we're taking this next hill.
Well, I think that on judges, not just Justice Kavanaugh, but on all judges, McConnell has been heroic. I recommend everybody, by the way, he wrote a terrific memoir called The Long Game. And when you read it, you really get a sense of his personality and what motivates him and how he's been involved and what he's done. He had polio as a child, spent several years learning to walk again. This is a guy who's very determined. I don't always agree with him. I was Speaker of the House, and the House always looks at the Senate with a certain level of skepticism. But I must say that McConnell, I think, has done an admirable job and a better job than anybody could have asked for, particularly on judges, where he and the president have collaborated now. I think about one out of every four judges at the end of this year will be somebody that Trump has nominated.
That's remarkable. Last thing, because I think we're going to keep the Senate. That's never been in question. I have a feeling if the election were today, we would not only keep the House, we might increase our margin in the House. Well, the election is a long 4 weeks away. Will there be a Kavanaugh effect, a red beachhead to stop the blue wave?
Well, I think the issues are our beachhead. I think when you talk to people about fentanyl killing our children and opioids coming across the border, when you talk to people about MS-13 as a terrorist gang in our neighborhoods coming across the border, when you talk about sanctuary cities causing crime, when you look at the economy and you say we have the best African-American unemployment in history, the best Latino unemployment in history, and it came about because of the right policies, doing the right things, and you explain that the tax cut includes a tax cut for everyone. If you're going to double the amount that you can deduct before you pay anything, you know you're going to have a better deal on the child tax credit. People begin to realize there are a lot of good things going on, and all of them are despite left-wing Democrats. So when you got a good case in your state, you look at everything Ted Cruz stands for, and you look at Beto O'Rourke and realize, you know, Beto O'Rourke thinks that Chuck Schumer would be just fine as a leader. So when people tell me about some Democrats different, I say, just tell me who they're going to vote for leader if they're so different.
That's it. And everybody goes, it's a close race. Beto had a lead by one. Guys, it's still Texas. It's still Texas. And that is still Newt Gingrich. Look what I just did. I had a great opportunity to do a little Q&A with Newt, something I've enjoyed dozens of times over the years, and something you will enjoy when he opens the floor for questions after his remarks at the Lifesavers Foundation event. Lifesavers Foundation, it is this Saturday, the 13th of October, at the Omni in Frisco. Do not miss it. Go to lifesaversfoundation.org. Click events and get your tickets. Well, Mr. Speaker, which I will call you forever, always a joy to have you, and thank you, and good health, and best to Calista, and just always enjoy having you around.
I look forward to seeing you this weekend.
God bless. Thank you. That's Newt Gingrich. How about that? 851 Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.